Well, good morning, Sun City Disciples. It is a joy, a great joy for me to be with you here this morning. Many of you knew that know probably that my grandparents were founding members of this congregation in 1974. James Ross Hartley, I was named after him, J. Ross Hartley, and my grandmother Lois. So it's always I came here as a little child. It's possible that I attended worship here before any of you. Have anybody been coming here more than 45 years? So probably I came to this church before any of the rest of you did. So it's a joy for me to get to come back and to be up here. I remember Hartzell Cobbs, the founding minister. And I'm also mindful that if that was 1974, we are 2.5 years away from your 50th anniversary. So I hope you are now starting to plan how are we going to celebrate 50 years of Disciples of Christ in Sun City. Am I freaking you out, Barbara? What? All right. So yeah, it takes a while to plan a big celebration. So start thinking about that now. Truly, it's a joy to be here and to celebrate God's steadfast love together with you. So I have a question. Do you remember the first thing that you learned about Jesus? You're probably a long time ago, but raise your hand if you can tell me the first thing you learned about Jesus. Barbara. Well, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, the song. Is that what you were going to say? All right, 3 of you, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Did any of you learn that Jesus was a little lamb, meek and mild? That Jesus was your friend, someone you could talk to? Well, so far I haven't heard anybody tell me that the first thing you learned about Jesus came from this scripture that we're about to read, that Gary was so nice to assign me. There's a reason he went out of town this weekend. So here goes. Probably not the first thing you learned about Jesus. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Thanks, Gary. "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether you have enough to complete it? Otherwise, when you've laid the foundation and you're not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule you, saying, 'Ha! This person began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not first sit down and consider whether he's able with his 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and he asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." Thanks, Gary. Do you ever imagine what it would be like if Jesus lived today? I know we've all been told over and over that Jesus lives, right? That Jesus is with us and all of that. It's the basic Easter proclamation, Christ lives. But I mean, do you ever imagine what it would be like if Jesus really lived with us today in the flesh? Like, what if Jesus went to Sun City Christian Church? Would you like him? Or would he make you uncomfortable? What if he joined, like, the same college fraternity we were in? Or was a member of the same country club? What would that be like? Would Jesus even join a country club? Would he fit in? Or would he just annoy everyone by his cryptic sayings? and constantly wanting us to be better. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. And maybe worse. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Whoa, hold on, Jesus. What is going on here? Does Jesus even want disciples? Does Jesus even want followers? Because saying things like that is more likely to drive people away than get them to follow you. Right? It's not much of a church growth strategy. You would not put Jesus on charge of the evangelism committee. Can you imagine somebody visits Sun City Christian Church for the first time and they open the front door and there's a greeter there to welcome them and they say, "Do you hate your wife? Do you hate your children? Because if you don't, you're not welcome here." It wouldn't be much for church growth, would it? There are people, and you probably know some, who like to say that the Bible is the literal, inspired, infallible Word of God. And I always wonder what they make of this scripture passage. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother cannot be my disciple. And I wonder what they think of this one. None of you can be my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Now, you can take them literally if you want to, but you probably don't. I don't really know anyone that does. So what is going on with Jesus? What does he really want us to do? Well, allow me to go about this by way of a story. Many of you know that my father is also a preacher. He came a few months ago and preached here, and I don't know if he told this story, but when I was young, he liked to tell this story when it was time to collect the offering about a conversation that he heard on my Uncle Bill's farm in West Lafayette, Indiana. Uncle Bill was married to my mom's sister, Aunt Harriet. And one day he heard this story. Farmer Bill was really well loved by all the animals on the farm, and so his birthday was coming up, and the animals wanted to do something special for him. And being a good Christian farm, they formed three committees. The dogs and the cats were put in charge of the decorations. The cows and the sheep were put in charge of the gifts. And the pigs and the chickens were put in charge of the food. Well, the cats hung streamers up all over the farm, and the dogs blew up a whole bunch of balloons. The cows bought them a new fly swatter. The sheep pulled their wool, and they made them a new blanket. And then when the food committee came together, the chicken said, "Hey, I know. Why don't we make Farmer Bill a great big delicious breakfast of ham and eggs?" Well, the pig gulped. "I don't know about that," the pig said. "For you, that only requires a little contribution. But for me, that requires a great big sacrifice." Now, I could stand up here and say that we can't truly be followers of Jesus if we're not willing to sacrifice everything. Preachers will sometimes run with the scripture and say that Jesus gave his all, and Jesus demands that we give our all too. I could stand up here and preach that Christ demands our total commitment. Jesus was committed like a pig, but we are just chicken. But if I preached that, I would feel like a hypocrite, because obviously I haven't given up all my possessions either. I haven't packed up my family and moved to Africa to serve the poor. I haven't become a Christian martyr. And the truth is, I think Jesus was using hyperbole to make a point. I think he was exaggerating. And yet I don't want to just make excuses and say, "Well, yeah, Jesus was totally committed. But we're just human beings. We can't really expect that of ourselves. Just do whatever you feel like, and that's enough." Because whether Jesus was totally serious or whether he was just using linguistic hyperbole, I think the point is still the same. To challenge us to become more and more committed to serving God, to loving our neighbors, to living generously. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Now, I was somewhat relieved, and you might be too, when I discovered that the Semitic word that is translated hate in this passage is a way of expressing detachment. It's not the emotion-filled word that we use when we're really angry. It's still a hard teaching. Jesus is challenging us to examine ourselves, to examine our commitment to the ways of God, to examine how serious we are about loving our enemies and welcoming the stranger and living generously and caring for the poor and the widows and the orphans in our midst. He is challenging us. But when Jesus says that we must hate our parents and our spouses and children and life itself, he's not really saying he wants you to hate them. He's not trying to cut us off from our families like cults do. But it's more of a reminder that the close ties that we have to people, to our family, to our best friends, they can tempt us into not doing the right thing. He's saying, hold lightly to everything, even your closest relationships. Don't become so attached to your own family that you will wrong other people on their behalf. Don't be so attached to any idea or philosophy that you aren't willing to consider alternatives and listen to other perspectives and learn from experiences. So Jesus here is not unlike the teachings of the Buddha about non-attachment, that our ties to the world can lead us to places that are unhealthy for our spirits. Perhaps a helpful modern paraphrase for the scripture would go something like, whoever comes to me and is more concerned about their own well-being and the well-being of their own family than they are about trying to make sure that all people have what they need cannot be my disciple, or at least needs a better understanding of God's will and God's care and God's love for all. Truly, Jesus was totally committed to the ways of God. The story of the cross is the story of someone who was willing to face the worst. He was willing to endure great loss, even the loss of his own life. He was willing to pray for the very people that were putting him to death, because Jesus was convinced that there was nothing more important than living and sharing God's love. And Jesus invites us and challenges us not just to love God on Sunday mornings, but to love our neighbors every day of the week, to love our enemies, to love the people that are the most different from us, with a commitment and a passion that might make us unpopular sometimes with some of our friends, but it's what God calls for. And if Jesus wants total commitment to the love of God, and that seems like too much for you, we can at least strive for greater commitment. We can try to extend ourselves in love more and more, to work harder to put others first, to consider their needs as at least as important as our own. May we grow more and more committed to loving our neighbors, to caring for the poor, for the widows and the orphans, and to seeing God's image in even the most difficult people we meet. You don't have to be a pig but at least be a very dedicated chicken. Amen.
Break of the bread of life, dear Lord.